American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Wednesday, 10 May 2017. Ann Coulter actually came out and said that Comey being fired was a red herring to distract from the fact that Trump hasn't started building the wall. What? When is it? Do the talking heads know when to stop talking? I suppose not. And of course, the neocon. You know, I gosh, sometimes I'm ornery. And who likes cancer, right? But you know, as far as John McCain goes, I was rooting for the big C. Doesn't seem to get eradicate this cockroach. He just keeps getting voted back in by the people of Arizona. Or I think the sun has beaten down on their brains so much it's dried up their brains. I don't know. So John McCain trashes Trump for canning Comey. And of course, the good senator that nobody really wants to listen to anymore. He went running for the microphones after Comey's being fired and condemned the president's action. And, you know, McCain's become a bigger friend to the Democrats than to anybody with an R next to their name. This is the statement that he released on the dismissal of FBI Director James Comey, coming right from a communist sympathizer. I'm serious about that, folks. I'm not joking. He said, while the president has the legal authority to remove the director of the FBI, I am disappointed in the president's decision to remove James Comey from office. James Comey is a man of honor and integrity, and he has led the FBI well in extraordinary circumstances. I have long called for a special congressional committee to investigate Russia's interference in the 2016 election. Can somebody send a memo to this asshat? Somebody. Please wake up the 80-year-old cancer survivor that a half of this country wished you would have died of, Mr. McCain. And that's one hell of a thing to say, isn't it? But it happens to be true. I have long called for a special congressional committee to investigate Russia's interference in the 2016 election. The president's decision to remove the FBI director only confirms the need and the urgency of such a committee. And here's the deal, folks. You can always count on Mr. McCain to bash the Republican president. Wow. You know, nobody in the media, to my knowledge, to this day, has ever played John McCain's rendition of "The Communists Are Treating Me So Well in Vietnam." And many people have told me that they had never heard that recording until I played it on this program. You know, everybody talks about the boat boys, the Careys, or they'll talk about Jane Fonda, Hanoi Hilton, but they never talk about John McCain. You're shaking your head. Just tell me. I'm sorry, what? Laura in Michigan. Hello, Laura.
Hi, John.
Hi.
I was just going to tell you, you're looking for who's going to be the next FBI. Over here in Michigan on the news, they keep talking about Mike Rogers.
Well, okay.
He was in Congress, he was the FBI before he was in Congress. But there's something about him I remember I don't like. He was on the Intelligence Committee or one of those committees. And for some reason, the things that he was doing in that committee, his wife was making money off of it.
Oh.
He was in some kind of security business.
Yeah.
I can't quite remember it exactly.
Yeah. It's been a while ago.
I knew there was a reason I didn't like him.
Well.
So. I just give you a heads up about it.
All right. Well, who knows who's going to be the next FBI director? Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why old Henry was there yesterday. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
can I tell you real quick about the Liberty Project?
Go ahead.
What we're trying to do is get 1,000 people to call the White House comment line 202-456-1111. And just say something like, you know, Trump is going to Israel next month. And just have them say, okay, please, Mr. Trump, when you go to Israel next month, could you bring back the USS Liberty's lifeboat that your Israelis took as a trophy, is now in one of your museums? If they could say something like that, we get 1,000 calls and it might pique his interest.
All right, well, we'll see what the powers that be, what they do, Laura. I can almost guarantee you it probably won't be the right thing, but for these people, halfway to being right is just okay with them.
Well, I thought this is something people could do. I always wonder what I can do. There's an easy thing, make the call, you know, and make the call, and you can do it right from home. So it's just a help, a little bit of a help.
All right. Appreciate the tip. Thank you, Laura.
Okay, bye-bye.
You know, I wish Donald Trump would tweet out here, since he's so good at tweeting. Create a website just strictly on the question, should we have national health care or no? And hear what the people of America have to say. And I can almost guarantee you of this, folks, that the majority of the people in this country don't want it. But what is he and Paul Ryan and the rest of the neocons, I'm sorry, the people that are confused as to what party that they're in or what the party used to stand for or what they used to stand for getting elected in office and under what document do I swear? Yeah. Well, back on the subject here of our college campuses, the programming, and that's what this is. I mean, this is flat out simple Marxist training 101. Now programming students to destroy their own freedom of speech. Isn't that a nice little trick? Look beyond the politics of Ann Coulter and whatever her now shutdown speech was even going to be about at the UC of Berkeley. Now, on the same campuses where students once marched for the First Amendment, do you remember those days? Just a few decades ago, now they're literally burning it. While burning a sign that says free speech is technically free speech, in true Orwellian fashion, it's also the opposite of free speech. But see, they don't know how to think. They're being told what to think, not how to think, not how to critically think. And you people kept asking the question, well, we got Generation X here, and I got Now we got the millennials. You know, what's next? You're seeing what's next. Are you watching? Well, so if this is the opposite of free speech, why? Because these students don't actually, they don't want people to have free speech anymore. If they especially disagree with that speech or the person speaking it. Now, student activism is about demanding censorship, not freedom from it. Instead, they want tyrannical administrative safe spaces from so-called microaggressions. You're trying to micro hurt me. So I'm going to come up with a term. It's a microaggression, and I need a safe space. I'm melting. The only freedom that they really want is from being challenged. That's it. And if and I'm laughing, and I shouldn't be, because this is sad. If you ever talk to a dyed-in-the-wool socialist communist that don't know that they think they're part of a progressive policy or they're part of a progressive political apparatus, have you ever tried to talk to them? Once you get past their bumper sticker stuff, there's nothing there. I mean, literally, nothing there. And I swear to God, folks, this is not hyperbole. This is not because I'm slightly right of, the Marxist. Slightly. Yeah. But my God, these people have nothing. Nothing. And the one thing that you will find, you keep scratching that thin veneer that I'm so tolerant and I'm so loving and I'm so, yeah, get them past their bumper sticker quotes and you're going to find out what's beneath that thin veneer very quickly. A whole lot of seething anger, and they don't even know what the hell they're angry about. They don't know who screwed them and how long they did it and for what reason they did. And that's a pretty sad state of affairs. When a hooker gets screwed and she doesn't know the reason why, there's something wrong here. Now, it's as if these college students these days are being programmed like little robots with trigger words, socially engineered to destroy their own rights. I'm going to give you a couple examples here. This came out of We the Internet documentary, sadly spelling this out. And this is painful, exactly how modern universities are engineering America's futures leaders to destroy freedom of speech. I'm sorry, is everybody there signed up for government class? But what these universities are doing is something that they're not there supposed to be doing. This is supposed to be a place of the higher learnings of the reading, writing, and arithmetic deal. You know, for careers and to be specialized and do whatever. No, not anymore. No, not anymore. And folks, here's the sad irony. This wouldn't be happening on college campuses if these little doofuses didn't go in the deep hole with student loans. They wouldn't even be there. Some of them would, but the majority of them would not be. And that's a whole other another kettle of fish. If I got some time, I'll get into it. How these universities, once they discovered that the government, well, we're going to give loans to students, how they cashed in and screwed up the whole damn thing. And it's so bad. It is so bad. You want to talk about bureaucracies. These universities have put on over 500,000 administrators in the last several years. 500,000 of them. For what? They're not professors. They're not teachers. they're not in there with a direct line of, okay, you pay your cash, you show up on this specified day and time, and we're going to be teaching this subject. It had nothing to do with education whatsoever. Nothing. But they're loading up the bureaucrats, and with this, a whole lot of activists are coming on campus, seeing how they got more time on their hands, because guess what? They're not involved in the direct education of your children. If I have some time, I'll get into that. What do we got, about 8 minutes here? Let me play this first clip. And this was put together by Melissa Dykes. Thank you, Melissa. How you doing? I'd love to have you and her husband on this network, just in case you're listening.
Can I just make a suggestion? Can we just have a conversation?
This is Brown University.
Heterosexual white males have always dominated the space. It's so funny in which heterosexual men. Well, homosexual, it don't, white males are at the top of the hierarchy. It don't matter.
This is Brown University, the elite Ivy League college famed for its radical student activism and wide-open curriculum that, yes, does technically allow you to major in drum circle studies. It's also my beloved alma mater. I entered Brown about a decade and a half ago, perfectly embodying that charming paradox common to newly minted adults. I'd never known less about the world, and yet somehow also never had more confidence in my opinions about it. The endless campus debates burned away a lot of the stupid stuck to my brain. But now that vital campus dialogue is being snuffed out, Brown has been overrun by this nasty, censoring species of student activism that's overtaking college campuses across the country.
You need to get out!
Back in the fall of 2013, former New York City Police Chief Ray Kelly was invited to give a lecture about his controversial stop and frisk policies. Protesters picketed outside, filled the lecture hall, and then they did this.
Thank you, Rob.
Asking tough questions is not enough!
They shouted out administrators.
It has to be a basic principle of this university that we allow for free speech.
They shouted down students.
Your inability to listen to this quiet in my voice.
Racism is not for debate.
And then they got their way.
I'm going to ask that everyone please leave the auditorium.
They didn't respond to our demand to cancel the lecture, so we canceled it for them.
This is not the Brown that I know. This is students weaponizing victimhood to stifle debate, and things have gotten steadily worse since then. So I went back to campus to find out why.
Where's the Tico Tico song? This is a video, folks. Not necessarily made for radio. So just deal with it until we get to the pertinent points. Sorry about that.
The university ought first and foremost be a place in which reason determines outcomes. Not the ability to throw tantrums or fits. The people who perpetrated this act of tyranny were remembered in heroic terms at this university and held up as an example of student activism as a positive thing. That's an error. It's a profound error.
We all collectively, need to, just own. Sometimes things don't go the way we plan. And certainly in the wake of that, there was a lot of learning that happened.
I got called a white supremacist when I tried to go inside.
Just remember, the liberals don't have guns. Yeah. Yeah.
Brown administrators did even worse than capitulate a year later. The writer Wendy McElroy was invited to be on the con side in a debate about whether America has a rape culture. Student critics framed McElroy's opinions as a kind of mind violence. They set up one of those infamous safe spaces running videos of puppies to protect themselves from her really hurtful beliefs.
The political majority on this campus believe that speech that disagrees with the conclusions of the left isn't in and of itself an act of violence.
Wow.
becomes, in this moral calculus, as warped as it may seem to outsiders, rational to shut down something like the Ray Kelly Lecture.
University President Christina Paxton preemptively denounced McElroy in a school-wide email and set up a competing lecture.
There has been a lot of pain, and we wanted to create the kind of respectful, thoughtful climate that invites those conversations without harming individuals.
Whatever thin caricature student critics had constructed of McElroy was promptly shattered by the actual content of her speech.
When I was 16, I was raped, and brutally so. I had a hemorrhage in my right eye that left me blind. I know the pain and the importance of violence against women because I see half of the world because of it. North America is not a rape culture, and it is an insult to women who live in one that women
no,
here...
No, I think we'll skip the break
so
because you've skipped it already.
...and so much opportunity are trying to share the same status with them.
Shortly thereafter, in a closed-door faculty meeting, a small group of professors introduced a resolution that simply reaffirmed a section in Brown's own founding charter on the value of the free exchange of ideas. That resolution did not pass. Leading the charge against it, a star professor named Tricia Rose, who said that even considering the resolution again would extend the pain.
It's not an argument. It's a move of power, not a move of reason.
The main thing they want is a conformity. Just fall into line. Where some things cannot be said, some ideas cannot be spoken.
Here's an illuminating nugget about Tricia Rose. She has a lecture in which she literally has students pledge their loyalty to her politics.
I am not personally responsible for racism. Or in fact, any other vast form of structural oppression. Even though I very likely benefit personally from some aspect of them.
Many students in last year's freshman class received an orientation pamphlet that denounced data and statistics as structures of oppression and mapped the unsafe spaces on campus. Among them, this historic lecture hall, because its portraits of white former university presidents constitute microaggressions. And guess who the administration picked to give the opening convocation address?
I'm not sure I went to the equivalent of this when I was a first year at Yale, but it's different there.
Professor Rose showed them that a string of fashionable jargon is indeed an acceptable substitute for an argument.
We have used in the post-civil rights era the ideology of the illusion of colorblindness as the rhetorical vehicle for the maintenance and development of a system like the prison industrial complex.
Now, the excesses of Brown's activists obscure some legitimate grievances. Most importantly, of course there's such a thing as privilege. I'm its distilled essence. I'm the product of a plush Los Angeles private school. I've never suffered racist slights. I didn't have to take on a single cent in student loans. The Ivy League was originally built by and for people like me. And activists are right to demand that it evolve to better accommodate students that don't share my advantages. Last fall, Brown unveiled a multi-million-dollar plan that, in part, did just that. And here's how student activists thanked them. They stormed the president's office and shouted down the provost.
Can I just make a suggestion? Can we just have a conversation?
Like, no. The problem that they're having is heterosexual white males have always dominated the space. It's the one in which heterosexual... white males are at the top of the hierarchy.
This is not a grand battle against institutionalized injustice. This is an addiction to indignation.
We also had obligations like being in class. We can't focus on those things. We have to focus on...
That same semester, Brown's student newspaper published a pair of columns which essentially argued that European colonialism generated some economic benefits for Native Americans. These columns made easy tinder for another explosion of student outrage.
We beg this university to hold the BDH accountable.
We should not have to be in pain for you to do something.
The paper's editors buckled, retracting one of the columns and denouncing both as racist.
essentially is a climate of censorship. What you say has to conform to our sort of worldview, and if it doesn't, then you're a racist.
If you talk about what happened in 1492 in a particular tone, then you're out of bounds. Then you're making the environment impossible. Then you're exercising a kind of power that needs to be countered by limiting what you say.
Brown's top administrators implicitly encourage this censorship.
When the administration says that the Herald has rightfully owned the harm they caused, you're saying that the Herald caused harm by publishing a dissenting and unpopular opinion, and that is the norm that you are expressing to the, you know, to the community.
You know, there are people that were really, you know, that are really, continue to be traumatized, that continue to be concerned and in really deep ways.
Ooh.
If you're an indigenous person and someone says the Indians didn't get their land stolen, if it had been left for them, they'd still be living in poverty today. Somebody says that. Somebody says something like that. The answer in every case is to take the offender to the intellectual woodshed, which is to say, to refute what they just got through saying, to point out how it's silly, ahistorical, superficial, and without ethical foundation. That's what the university is for. The university is there to teach people how to do that. We preempt that process of education with a capitulation to the presuppositions of adolescence. We will have abdicated our responsibility and not deserve the pay.
Well, it's perfectly natural for college students to think they have all the answers. The university system was specifically designed to puncture that warm womb of pure certainty. One of my favorite articulations at this point comes from a university administrator named Ruth Simmons, who called learning the antithesis of comfort. Oh, and who's Ruth Simmons? She's the former president of Brown University. Born into back-breaking poverty in the Jim Crow South, Ruth trained as a professor in French literature and served in the administration of several elite colleges before being appointed president of Brown. She was the first black president of an Ivy League university.
Why does a tenant farmer's kid decide to study French literature?
Because everything belongs to me. There is nothing that is withheld from me simply because I'm poor.
The semester right before Ruth took over, the right-wing provocateur David Horowitz had taken out an ad in the student newspaper criticizing reparations for slavery. Incensed student activists stole all the copies. That controversy was still simmering when Ruth came to campus. Did she justify the censorship by denouncing Horowitz as an agent of oppression whose very existence constituted an erasure of her struggle? No. She insisted Horowitz be invited back to speak. I was there. So was Ruth. She sat in the front row.
The collision of views and ideologies is in the DNA of the academic enterprise. We don't need any collision avoidance technology here. Thank you.
Wow. That's just one university, folks. This is happening across the country. Campuses, well-known and lesser-known. Same thing. The activism has been taken to the students, and the colleges are folding the tent as being educational facilities. High-priced ones at that.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game, at the top of your game, with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You know, I'm looking at the 1967 CIA memo that was sent around. And this was the memorandum that basically said how to discredit conspiracy theorists. The very people that created this. And I can remember back in the 90s, you know, the term anti-government was being used. And I remember there was a Battle Creek, Michigan newspaper that came out and used the term conspiracy theorist. And I went, wow. Well, just about the time they took note of it, it up and disappeared for a good 5 years. And then it rolled back in. And now it was the buzzword of the day. You conspiracy theorist. The phrase conspiracy theorist gets thrown around these days like pies get thrown around in an episode of The Three Stooges. It's become so overused, in fact, it almost doesn't mean anything anymore and has been superseded by fake news. And that psyop is a mean of discrediting truly independent media that criticizes the establishment or asks too many questions. And you notice, folks, you know, Donald Trump came out with a fake news thing. And that's what we've been saying. We didn't come up with the terminology, but that's what we've been calling the liberal or the Jewish to Marxist water carriers who own the media in this country. Pretty much. But then it got flip-flopped, didn't it? You know, that was intended that we were the fake news. And that was flipped right back on them as, no, you all are fake news with a political agenda. Once upon a time, being a conspiracy theorist wasn't automatically akin to being a crazy tinfoil hatter or being as mad as a hatter. That all changed swiftly after John F. Kennedy's assassination, when polls showed, yeah, we've always been this conspiracy-minded people, when polls showed nearly half the country was not buying the Warren Commission's finding or its report solidifying the government's official version of events. A Gallup poll reported in January of 1967 that at least 46% of the country did not believe Oswald acted alone. Now, bear in mind, this is 67. Bear in mind, this was a full decade before the House Select Committee on Assassinations investigated JFK's murder and conducted that scientific acoustical evidence establishes a high probability that two gunmen fired at President Kennedy and that President John F. Kennedy was probably assassinated as a result of a conspiracy. At the same time, Mark Lane had just released his book, Rush to Judgment, a critique of the Warren Commission's inquiry into the murders of President John F. Kennedy, Officer J.D. Tippit, and Lee Harvey Oswald himself. And a three-judge panel had just ruled that the district attorney, Jim Garrison, had enough evidence to take Clay Shaw to trial on charges of conspiring to assassinate JFK. Well, the CIA released the following memo in April of 1967, categorized as psych, which means, essentially, weaponized the use of label conspiracy theorist, and laid out a number of dirty trick tactics using elite-friendly contacts, including politicians and media figures, to discredit and shut down any claims and ultimately demonize anyone who attempted to challenge the government's official version of events. Now, you might ask yourself why the CIA would go to such lengths to do that. Well, here's an obvious one. The CIA was involved in the assassination of Kennedy? Oh, no. You say that couldn't be so. Yeah, just like the FBI weren't shooting people in that burning building in Waco trying to climb out of the kitchen windows. No, that wasn't real either. Just as the shot that killed Lavoy Finicum came from the FBI, that wasn't real either. So, you know, you people had better get a grip on reality in your world and quit looking at everything through this mud pie of conspiracy theorism. You're making my head hurt. Folks, it's becoming bizarre. Did you find the rest of that story, the Duke Divinity? Okay, you're telling me that I just need to refresh? You don't have to yell at me. Unless you pay me, you don't get to yell at me. Okay, I'm refreshing the story now. Be kind. I'm trying to rewind. Who posted that anyhow originally? Was that you? No, I didn't think so. Ah. Screwed up. Okay, the code was screwed up. At any rate, here's the balance of the story that I couldn't get to before. About a divinity professor at Duke University has apparently resigned following a disciplinary action against him after he questioned the value of diversity training at the school. Paul Griffiths, a professor of Catholic theology at the school, couldn't be reached for comment Tuesday about the flap. A colleague at the school says Griffiths, 61, has resigned, effective next year. A string of emails first published by the American Conservative website revealed a chain of events that began with a February invitation to all Divinity School faculty to participate in 2 full days of racial equality training in March. These are your Marxist dialogue to consensus camps, folks. That's exactly what this is. Those who have participated in the training have described it as transformative, powerful, and life-changing. Wrote Anithia Porter Young, an associate professor of Old Testament, we recognize that this is a significant commitment of time. We also believe it will have great dividends for our community. Griffiths responded the same day to Portier Young, on February 6, copying all faculty on the email and calling the training a waste of time. This is what he wrote. He said, I exhort you not to attend this training. Don't lay waste your time by doing so. It'll be, I predict with confidence, intellectually flaccid. There will be bromides, cliches, and amen corner rah-rahs in plenty. When and if it gets beyond that, its liberal roots and totalitarian tendencies will show. Events of this sort are definitely anti-intellectual. Well, that's when the trouble really escalated. An associate professor, Anathra Portier Young, she's a associate professor of Old Testament at Duke University. Within hours of Griffiths sending that thing out, Elaine Heath emailed the faculty and, without mentioning Griffiths, specifically wrote, it's inappropriate and unprofessional to use mass emails to make disparaging statements, including arguments ad hominem, in order to humiliate or undermine individual colleagues or groups of colleagues with whom we disagree. The use of mass emails to express racism, sexism, and other forms of bigotry is offensive and unacceptable, especially in a Christian institution. Wow. So where was the racism, sexism, and bigotry and offensive language in his email? Oh, that's right, it wasn't there. Because simply all this guy pointed what exactly it is. It's a waste of your time. Intellectually, it's devoid of anything worth your time. So I'd urge you not to go. And that turned into name-calling, you're a racist, sexist. And see, that's all you have to say nowadays, folks. That's all you have to accuse somebody of, and that shuts it all down. Oh, you're one of them. You are the ones that we have been warned about to keep off our campuses and keep on. You know, what do these college students do when their parents take an opposite view of them? What do? Poison a Christmas turkey? What do? Plot to kill their parents in the basement after midnight when they're home from college for the weekend? What do you do with a family member that's a little bit older and wiser than you are, that's been around the block a few times, that tries to corner a snowflake, apply a little bit of heat, and they can't find a safe spot? What do? Are they going to murder you now because you're a racist, you're a sexist, you're a misogynist, and you've got to be stopped? They're now calling, and I'm not joking about this, the word on the campuses is, you know, we got to kill these misogynistic white males now. That is what's being uttered on college campuses today, folks. Tipping point? Yeah, I'd say we're there. Now, this is the up-and-coming generation that's going to be least equipped to handle the problems that they know nothing about. They don't know the reasons or the causality. They don't know from whence it sprang. They're going to be hit hard, and they're going to be like little weebles, only they're not going to wobble. They're just going to fall over, and they ain't going to get up. Is it on my screen? It's not on my screen. If it was on my screen, I'd say so. It's now on my screen. See, I just said so. I'm going to give you a hard time today because you skipped my break. And I really had to go to little boys' room. That's what I'm angry about. Bill in New Jersey. Hello, Bill.
Hey, John. I have a kid who's a freshman in college, and he had to change his whole perspective of writing for his English class just to pass it because of the liberal professor that he had. I mean, we're talking about a kid who had a Trump sticker on his car and the only one in the parking lot. And at first we were going to drop the class because he came and told me that this teacher was basically trashing Trump, you know, going for Hillary, the whole thing at the beginning. And in the last paper he wrote, even though he didn't believe it, he put right in there, you know, Trump is racist because of the wall, and then he gets an A. Had he not done that, he would not have got an A, and he wouldn't have kept his straight A status. So, I mean, look what's happening to these kids. They're writing differently just to pass classes, these freaking professors.
Well, and Bill, and this is how bad it's gotten. You've heard me say this many times, that academia was taken over by the leftist or the Marxist professors at colleges. And they were active. They would grind it out every day, but it wouldn't be spectacular in your face. But now the deans are now in charge of these colleges, and they are the ones that are now setting the rules to allow this sort of thing to continue.
It's ridiculous, man. At least my guy knew. He basically wrote the paper and goes, look, this is not my perspective. This is the perspective that the teacher wants me to write, like, to pass the class. Like, what the fuck? I mean, what the heck?
Man, I'm glad you got a crappy connection. I don't think the audience heard you just... Billy Bob can't say those words on air. You ever hear about the seven words that you can't say on air?
Yeah, George Carlin's a good man.
Yeah, well, he's dead and I'm not, and you can't say it.
Don't worry. All
right.
Good job, and take care.
I appreciate it. Thank you for your call. Ass hat I can use. By the way, have you noticed, since I've been using that term, you're seeing that repeated more in print and in stories? We were talking about that the other day. Somebody asked me one day, well, where'd you get ass hat? I goes, you know what? I don't even know. But it sounds better than saying A-S-S-H-O-L-E. Okay? That's the root for it. Just like I came up with the term... cultural deficiency. Now that, it's perfect. Because that's politically correct. What I'm actually saying is we've got knuckle-dragging Neanderthal types skulking around in the dark bowels of our inner city, devoid of education or even knowing how the hell they even got there. And that's my cultural deficiency. Or somebody thought I was being racist one day when I said ignig on the air. Somebody emailed me and says, you can't say that. I said, what did I say? Well, you're calling them people that ignorant N-word. I go, no, I'm not. I said ignig. That stands for ignorant Negro. I'm sorry, I can't say that. I can guarantee you that'll never hit mainstream. But folks, this has been a progression. This has been a steady onslaught. We saw the Agenda 21 creeping into our town councils, our city councils. Hell, here in Austin, Little Moscow in Colorado, guess what? It's one of these mundialized sustainable cities now. Yes. And guess what we have sitting in Austin, Texas? A pretty big university that, well, for a lot of years, was considered to be, I guess you could say, conservative. Now they've got student bodies running around the campus, pulling down these old Civil War memorials of those Southern generals because it's racist. You know, if you and your intellectual capacities, if you would have used your mind to research who Abraham Lincoln was, what the Civil War was really about, you'd be out there laying wreaths at the foot of these Confederate statues rather than demanding that they be torn down and smelted and turned into bullets that the cops can shoot you with, or at least shoot us with. They'll get around to you. And I'll say this again. You keep this up. This is America. This isn't Russia that turned into Soviet Union that turned back into Russia. No, this is not China that went communist, and, well, it's still there. Kind of, sort of. But now they're industrialized communists, so I guess that makes us a trading partner to them, and we've got to eat their deficits. Yeah, okay. Jack in California. Is there still oxygen out in the atmosphere out there?
Well, you know, some of us in the middle of the state actually can still breathe a little.
Wow. It's getting harder and harder all the time, though, isn't it?
North and south is pretty, you know, deplorable. hate to use Hillary's terms.
I was waiting for you to say that. If you weren't, I was going to.
Thank you.
What's on your mind?
Beat you to the punch.
There you go. What's on your mind?
Okay, asshat. Okay, I want to help you there.
Okay.
The first time I heard asshat, other than you, was in the Outlaw Josie Wales, when the people were, or Josie Wales' group was turning in their guns to the Union, and the guy said, well, I'm going to take that rifle. I need to shoot squirrels. And he goes, well, I'm going to kick your ass so hard you're going to be wearing it for a hat.
Hey, hang on a second. I've got a break. Hold on, Jack.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
We are back. Jack, that's not exactly asset. That's kick your butt up around your ears so you can wear your ass for a hat. Not the same thing.
Really? Okay. Can you explain the difference?
Well, yeah. One is a replacement for, as the aforementioned, ASSHOLE. Yeah. It's
well,
a direct substitute.
How about we give these guys that suffer from cranial rectosis plasectomies, where we'll put a plastic implement inside their abdomen so they can see where they're going?
I just say that the Massengill company developed the Massengill Mind Douche so we can get rid of these snowflakes, clean out their brains, and let's start all over again.
Yeah,
Frank, I can go on like this for 10 minutes, but I don't have the time. I've got one more caller I want to squeeze in.
Thank you, John.
Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Frank in North Carolina. Hello, Frank.
Yeah, John, thanks for taking my call. You know, I've never really been into this whole Civil War buff thing. I was never a Civil War buff, and it's taken me a long time to even become interested and warm up to the whole, you know, Confederacy thing and states' rights and all that. But, well, not so much states' rights. But the thing is, what I've come to understand is if they can tear down these monuments, they can tear down everything. They can tear down George Washington, the founding father of the country. Whatever bad things he might have done, whatever, there would be no America if it weren't for a guy like him, for guys like him. And I think that's the intent. I think they want to tear down everything.
That's it. Frank, thank you. You got the point. That is exactly my point. That these college students, because, well, it's just so hurtful. We gonna have safe spaces, the microaggressions. I can't sleep at night and I'm just a wreck. Well, excuse me, are you sure you're in the right building? The 3 North is across the street at the mental hospital. Maybe you ought to go get checked out. That's exactly what this is. It's a rewriting of history right before our very eyes. And the big clue to a lot of Southerners when they start coming out and using Abraham Lincoln and the war between the states and Abe was out to eradicate slavery and all these are all hateful imagery. Remember that? How many years ago did that start? Well, let's just rewrite all of history. George who? Jefferson. Isn't that the show where the black dude was moving on up? To the east side? Oh, no, that was George Jefferson. I'm sorry. History is a good clue and a roadmap of the mistakes of mankind so you don't repeat them in the future. But you see, if you erase history and the mistakes that were made, you get to make them all over again. I'm telling you, folks, you know who's going to be less equipped when things get dicey in this country? These people that are melting over the mere prospect of somebody coming on campus and speaking words that are hurtful to them. How about the whole damn system collapses? And you're standing there without a gun. That's the cruelest trick of all. No, I'm not advocating going and shooting communists on campuses. Not yet, anyhow. We'll let them run with, we'll kill all these white guys. That's the new college mantra. You misogynistic, racist, kill you white guys. I'm sorry, isn't that racism unto itself? Oh, that's right, I'm getting a little ahead of the program here. At any rate, thank you for being here today, ladies and gentlemen. Back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. Please make a donation. Simple way to do it, just call 800-724-2719, dial extension 3, and talk to Smiley Mikey looking at me right now. Pulling the pot down. Goodbye.
Hey there. Quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, Choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.